Sup. The opinions and views expressed in this podcast are that of our own and Future Bachelor only, and not affiliated with any outside party or entity. This fun podcast may include some adult language.
Future Bachelor Podcast.
Yeah! Future Bachelor! I've been working on my hype voice. You like that?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. We gonna get through this, V. Come on. Woo!
Throwback.
Time to wake up, people. I think I'm talking to myself, though.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm like, you were the one yawning.
It's like the biggest hype up of a song ever. Wait for that drop. Come on, you know the words. Future Bachelor. My name is Cy.
I'm Veronica.
And this is episode 117.
Hey.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. And we're going to get through this. I love that song. I don't know. I forgot what it was that over the last week I heard it. And I was like, this is going to start the show. It's just, you know, it's a good message. I feel like we got to get through this, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of this to get through, you know, a lot of different elements of this, you know.
You know, that's why I like you, Veronica. You picked the one word out of that, like, you know, out of the four words of the song, and you made it bigger than I ever thought. There's a lot of this.
There's a lot of this.
That might be the episode title, too. That's a good one. You know, it's another week. We're deciding to still, you know, self-quarantine. But I'm feeling a little itchy to get back to, like, recording, like, the good old
together days.
Together. Yeah. I was debating on doing it this week. But I was like, you know, I'm gonna stay in my pajamas this week and do it remotely. But how are you, V? How's everything been going with you?
You know, I'm doing okay. Just, you know, cranking by. I feel like after last week's podcast, I feel like I did a lot of things. A lot of things happened.
Yeah. I mean, last week's episode was a pretty great episode. We can talk about the events that transpired after last week's episode later on in today's show, but yeah, what else? What'd you get into over like the weekend and stuff?
Yeah, so Thursday became like a pretty busy day. Like, you know, the day that our podcast comes out, Thursday became like a pretty busy day for me. Like my one friend group from college, we did like a Zoom call to catch up, and that was a lot of fun. We call ourselves like the Gucci Gang, and so that was a ton of fun. And then after that, I went to a midnight march protest. So that
DJ
was,
and Kyle said they were at the same one that you were at.
Like, yeah,
was like really that, late yeah. at night. Yeah, well, obviously yeah. at midnight.
Indeed. It was a lot of fun. Which it feels weird to say that about a podcast, about a protest, but like,
hey, I'd rather a protest be fun than anything else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But like, it was just, cause there was music, they had drummers, it just was, I think it was just like a cool thing to be a part of at that time of night. Mm-hmm. And then this past weekend, we did like a little baby housewarming for David and Katie at their new place with some of their new renovations. And then I caught up with some of my Mizzou crew here in Atlanta, Knip, Taylor Marie, and Ray Ray. And then we both shot the hooch on Sunday.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy day. You know, I'd gone to a party the day before. So, like, you know, when you, like, wake up the next day and you're just kind of, like, still a little hungover. But we're going to go on to... We're going to go on the river, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah, it was, at least I was driving you, so.
Yeah, and that was, thank you for that. We did survive that car with our seatbelts that we put on when you told us, you kept talking about killing us or something like that in the car.
I did not say that. I said that I have succumbed to the fact that if I were to die anywhere in Atlanta, it would be on the highway. But yeah, just me alone.
You don't say that to people when you're driving them in a car.
No, I also made it clear that, like, I care more about other people's lives while I'm in the car than my own. So, like, you guys would always be safe.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, we went up there and it was so fun. You know, you fell into the river, right?
I did fall in because everyone else got in. Like, we all kind of got in the wrong way. I know. Well, yeah. It was.
Yeah, me and you probably got it the worst, actually. Future Bachelor got it the worst because you fell in right away. The only person to fall in the tube right off this bat. But then I got my tube taken for the cooler tube, which there was another tube that was supposed to hold the cooler that was a little less deflated. So I'm sitting here in a deflated tube the whole time, like floating down a river. No one can even see me because I'm below, like, your guys' eye level of the tubes.
The tube level.
But then it rained. And then it rained for like a good like 10 minutes. And that was like the most miserable thing I've ever been through in my life. You guys have no idea. Like, it was the most beautiful day. It was warm. We're getting a tan, drinking, floating down the river. It's beautiful. And then out of nowhere, it just starts raining. And we were just unprepared. It was freezing cold. I'm shivering. We're all like just like straight up screaming like, I want to die. And I meant it. And yeah, so... It was a crazy day.
It was a torrential downpour, too. Like, this wasn't just, like, we weren't being babies. This wasn't just, like, a little bit of, this was, like, hard rain.
Freezing rain. It turned everything ice cold. Yeah, no, it was miserable. I want to do it again, though. I'll never go back if there's even a 1% chance of rain. I'll tell you that. But yeah, anyways, well, we might as well, you know, move away from the lake, you know, and it might sound like V's car, but it's actually a trip to Quick Hits.
Whatever. Okay. Whatever.
What do we got for some Quick Hits, V?
All right. So, you know.
She goes, whatever.
We're living in the age where now everybody's starting to go back and be like, should we change some things up?
Yeah.
And Aunt Jemima said, yeah, maybe we should. And same with Uncle Ben's rice and beans and Mrs. Butter's syrup, all using imagery of, you know, black women, black men that are, you know, commonly from slavery.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Aunt Jemima.
I love when one thing starts to get canceled and then, like, Twitter will, like, always announce, like, we're coming for you next, Uncle Ben, or, like, we see you, Cream of Wheat, or some shit. Like, yeah. So they're, like, already, like, coming after people, and it's, like, a warning sign for those companies. It's like, yo, you see that Aunt Jemima's getting lit up right now. You might as well get ahead of it by just announcing it right now. But I think that's, like, legit what companies and brands have to start doing is, like, it's just like we were talking about last week's episode, just admitting you're wrong. And moving forward as much as you possibly can. Yes, it looks bad. You look like you're just like awakening right now.
I know. Well, it's like, yeah, these names and these like images are like have been. It's not like it's new. Like, oh, these are just racist now.
I mean, like, they've been racist. It's super racist. And also, like, I think it was like Carrie Hilson or something like that. But it's like, it's so funny that like. People are acting like black people just came out, like the new iPhone or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
they're acting like it's just like a new thing that came out or something. Like
oh shit, what? Yeah.
So yeah, good for them. I mean, essentially, they're gonna still have these products. I think they're just like rebrand them to being something.
They're rebranding them. They're gonna have to like rename them. Like the aunt and uncle thing are just like legit like rate like slavery based names. Those were like for like older slaves. That's like what you would call them. Like the good ones. I got to go inside the house and stuff like that, and like got to be around the kids and things like that. So it's all fucked up. Interesting, because like those are under like major food brands like PepsiCo, Quaker Oats, like own those different like foods and stuff. So like these are like, so then they're like, we're looking at our full portfolio to make sure like,
well, I even saw like the Band-Aid brand, like they're now officially doing like every skin color tone for their Band-Aids. So it's
which other brands have already done that. Like there's been specific like black owned businesses that had like black colored Band-Aids and stuff already. It's like, thanks, Band-Aid.
Yeah. It is kind of crazy. But anyways, what else we got? This was actually this next one was actually going to be my yikes moment of the week, because it's just like, yikes. But because of everything changing right now, even bands are looking at, especially when it comes to country, you know, a lot of the culture of country music comes from being in the South and like Confederate ways and stuff, and things that like you never really thought were like, you just have to do your research on a lot of stuff. Things that we've like inundated into culture just to be like normal is actually comes from straight racist stuff. And these groups in country music are now getting their names looked at because it stems from that. Lady Antebellum, you know, a huge group, Grammy award-winning group, ended up abruptly changing their name to Lady A. The yikes moment part of it, not just because like, you know, they probably knew it was pretty racist the whole time. Their excuse,
yeah, I mean,
is
like
saying,
Antebellum is like based on the slavery time and like,
yeah,
when people owned slaves and like the white a hierarchy and things
they
like that.
They say that their Antebellum was like the style of house that they like founded their band in or something.
But
like
that's
that.
Like based on that time that right. Slaves were, that's right. Like a plantation house.
Yeah. It actually reminds me, I was watching this. I'm like really into John Oliver right now, 'cause I think he does such a great job of just like blatantly like letting you know what it is like. And it's just like, it's just the truth. But it was like this clip of like this Confederate guy, like, you know, defending his a statue or something like that, getting knocked down, saying that like my grandparents fought like, or like in the, you know, in the Civil War for our family's farm. And like this black guy is like, who do you think worked that farm?
Yeah. Like, you know what, yeah, I'm saying? Literally though.
Yeah. So people are like, and now they're even talking about, well, the thing about Lady Antebellum is they changed her name to Lady A, but there's actually a soul blues singer or something like that, a black woman who's already goes by Lady A. So ironically, like that even kind of made situations a little worse. It's like here you are abruptly changing your name for the, you know, the climate we're in, but just to take it from like a woman that's already established herself as Lady A. You know, granted, you know, the most of the comments I see like underneath any like story about Lady A and Balaam, they're like, their fans call him Lady A, like blah blah blah. Like it doesn't matter what anyone calls them, like it is what it is. I guess they came to the conclusion that they're both going, there's enough room in this world for two different Lady A's. I still think it's kind of whack, you know.
It is. I agree.
And now they're also talking about going after the Dixie Chicks. You know, the word Dixie, it has, you know, relations to Confederacy as well, I believe. And but they're saying that, I think the origins of the Dixie Chicks name is that it's based off of another like song called the Dixie Chicken. Yeah. And that's where they ended up getting their name from. But Dixie Chicken, whether or not, it might be still related to
Confederacy. Just like the Southern tradition of like white supremacy and things like that, which like Mason-Dixon line, it has all those ties. But it's interesting because like the Dixie Chicks are like, have always been known to be like one of the most progressive country groups. I mean, like, remember, always, like,
and outspoken, they are very outspoken about their political stances and where they get in trouble. Like,
yeah, they said the whole thing about like how they were like, you know, they were upset that George Bush was from Texas at one of their things, which then led to like a whole like pretty much like that was like before cancel culture was cancel culture, but it like turned into like people like losing their minds and like backing like, you know, monster trucks over their CDs and being all like, fuck the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, yeah,
so crazy stuff.
Yeah, we're going to continue to see a lot more of this fallout. Like it's affecting everything. All of our shows, writers, anything, like, you know what I'm saying? Like everything is going to be affected by this music. I'm interested to see what more happens. Our world is changing, V. It's crazy. What else we got?
So, you know, quarantine has been rough on a lot of relationships, and another one that took a fall was Kelly Clarkson and her husband. She filed for divorce, saying that quarantine has been like a lot, kind of like compiling of different issues within their family, and how she like was, you know, running the show kind of deal, and you know, was stretched a little too thin. So it's always sad to see just like another one bites the dust. Like I feel like my one friend and I literally will send each other back and forth like different articles of like couples that have broken up during this like 3-month period, and it's like, damn, like this is really testing people. Like this
is
nuts.
Just like it's I think we're if anything, like this is like we're calling it a cultural reset, but it's like a legit reset. Like, let's change up the way we were doing things before. Like, you know, we don't have to live this way. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's ways of like being happy. If they're figuring out, like, you know, that they're probably not good together. You know, I'm actually curious about Kelly Clarkson because she had that whole show and then everything went like to shit here. Are they still doing her show?
I'm pretty sure she still has it. I mean, I'll be honest, the last time I ever saw it was when we both still worked in
right.
our office.
That's what
because
I'm asking. Because it was just getting off the ground too. but I wonder if all that stuff has anything to do with it. But what else we got?
So Amanda Bynes, who I feel like we haven't heard much from because she's like, she kind of like went away after like being like so controversial and like off her shit for like years and like calling out Drake and whatever. I don't even, whatever. She like kind of like took a step back, started taking care of herself again, was going to FITM, Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandise in California. And then she actually recently got sober. Like, I think she's been sober for about a year. And she just, like, at the beginning of quarantine, got engaged. But now she's, like, back in rehab for, like, a different stress and mental health issues. So it's like, damn. Like, she was like, on such an upward trajectory. And then it's, like, kind of sad to see. I don't know.
Yeah,
this is like child star syndrome for sure.
Yeah. I mean, once it's just really hard. Like, you know, I'm seeing things around me and stuff. And just once people get stuck in certain ways, it's so hard to get out, you know, addictions and the way society, you know, just depression. I'm sure she's probably, it's hard too. Like, you know, if someone that goes away for so long tries to even try to come out in the public eye or wants to be seen, it's just probably you feel like you're always being criticized and stuff. It's got to be a lot. So, hopefully, she'll be all right. and continue to get some help. What else we got? Well, last week we did talk about Vanderpump Rules, you know, about as far as, Stassi and Kristen and a couple other cast members getting fired from the show. Over the week, actually, I watched the challenge. They had some controversy with this Asian girl from Australia named D, and like MTV officially like cut ties with her. She's on the latest season of the challenge, which I'm watching right now. But they're going like the challenge itself, like, you know, a show like the challenge, a show like Vanderpump Rules, they thrive off of drama. And over the years, the controversy has been like, you know, ratings hit. But now in the current climate, when you kind of look at this stuff in scope over the years, the challenge has been around for like a couple decades now. And there's been some real problematic, I'm like looking into the history of all that stuff, but there's some pretty problematic stuff inside of the challenge, and there's also some problematic stuff inside of shows like Vanderpump Rules. What's it called right now, you know, Jax is the next one that's under fire for, I mean, he hasn't been officially fired right now, but he, there's definitely been some. I was reading an article about him saying, talking about, like, just one example was like him talking about like black people's noses,
yeah,
or something like that, yeah, or Jewish people. And then he brought up like, he's like, he couldn't understand why he couldn't talk about like a racist thing, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he so, like couldn't, he didn't like, he couldn't even like process it as being like racist. He's like, what all do
going
you mean?
On, yeah, this is all going on. I guess he was like in business with Lance Bass of NSYNC.
Yeah, so like they have their business, it's for like mixes, drink mixes, and mm-hmm. it's called like Just Add X. And honestly, like Lance Bass was like, you know, like, I don't think like he's an inherently like homophobic, because he's also said like, supposedly he's like said some transphobic and other things like that. And like Lance Bass was like, I didn't think he was like, you know, inherently a bad person. I also thought like us starting this business together was going to be, you know, a step in the right direction, kind of like a new Jax. Mm-hmm. But then like this past season of Vanderpump Rules, he's like, I just saw, like Lance Bass said, like, I just saw him like starting to spew the same shit again.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I just, you know, I just worry for him that, you know, shit just hasn't changed. And so I guess he's like kind of like severed ties like with their company.
Lance Bass was going at everybody. He was going at Andy Cohen. He was going at like pretty really, much.
I didn't
yeah.
know that.
So it's interesting right now because people are really trying to distance themselves from anything that is going to get them like canceled or be the next one up right now. And a lot of people have skeletons in their closet, especially someone like Jax. He's super toxic. I mean, you could have like from the beginning, the way he would just cheat on Stassi and stuff. But speaking of Stassi, apparently she's pregnant.
Yeah, she's pregnant. She like literally days after being fired, she announced like there, it was announced that she was pregnant with her fiance Bo.
Who I
and
like.
She
I like
confirmed
him on the show.
It.
That's, yeah, that sucks for her, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure that could have been, like, a whole storyline and shit on the show and stuff, and now she's fired from it, so. Well, that's all we got in Vanderpump Rules news. What else we got?
So, we brought this up before that we had seen Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, like, driving around together, but mm-hmm. now they are officially boyfriend and girlfriend. Like they both have like come out saying it. I think like Machine Gun Kelly's like been like kind of saying like how he's in love and all this stuff like on his social media. They're the real deal now. They've been spotted, you know, kissing and stuff in public, holding hands. I didn't
Yo,
realize she was
Machine
like fully
Gun
divorced.
What did you say?
I didn't realize that she was fully divorced from her husband. I didn't know that.
Brian Austin Green of 90210 fame.
Yes.
What's it called? Megan Fox is so hot. Machine Gun Kelly's like crazy lucky. What the hell?
I know. But like he's also like he's like kind of that weird looking.
I just can't believe that he's able to, he's like been able to like really turn his career around and become like a, you know, like a. Would you think he's hot?
I'm like kind of into it.
Yeah, you would. Now that Megan Fox
at first
is into
I never
it.
Got it, but also like a very similar. He's like on the same thread of like he's like the G-Eazys and like the Pete Davidsons, where it's like they look like kind of sick, and like there's something weird about it. Like they're like there's some like something like I don't know. He's got like just that bad boy appeal.
To me, it's just like white boys wanting to be black. Like that's like what it is to me.
Well, and like he's like trying to like he wants to be like just like he like wants to be punk too. Like I feel like he's just like all over the place.
Yeah, I think
know.
Right now he's trying to do like the Post Malone thing. Like he's trying to be like yeah. a Post Malone, like and sing now and not so much rap. I don't think we'll hear Machine Gun Kelly rap anymore. He's more of like a yeah punk artist now, like you know doing songs like Blink-182 type stuff and all that stuff. I mean he's like essentially probably the same age as me, so we grew up on the same.
He's
music.
30, yeah.
But speaking of Pete Davidson, I put on his movie last night. I fell asleep, but it's because it's a really friggin' long movie. It's like over 2 hours, but it was pretty funny. Like what I thought, like. I mean, I felt
I need
asleep,
to watch but. It. I actually, one of my podcasts that I listen to, Pop Culture Happy Hour, they did this episode for of this week. They talked about it and they all had mixed feelings on it. And they're like, you know, it's good.
But I mean, like, it's not like, one that you're always going to remember. It's not like, yeah, it's not like Super Bad or like Knocked Up where you're like repeating all the lines from it, I feel like.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
Yet they tried to make it on the long, along the same lines of that. So, but it's pretty good. I recommend as a watch. I'm still going to continue to watch it because I still have like an hour.
Yeah, you
got
to finish it because you pass out.
Yeah. But, what made you go yikes this week, Veronica? Like something that was like, oh, like I know there's a lot of things that made you go yikes this week, but what's one thing we could tell her? What's one thing we could tell our listeners that made you go?
Up your little,
I know. Little, I really do. It's like asking people. I'm like, I'm done asking people how they're doing because
doing. I know. Yeah.
Can we just have like, yeah. But yeah, what made you go yikes?
All right. So Chris D'Elia, how do you say his last name?
D'Elia.
D'Elia. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chris D'Elia. This woman named Simone Rossi went to Twitter and shared some screenshots of supposed emails between her and Chris. And, they were from when she was supposedly 16. And then a couple of other women stepped up saying, you know, that they had similar experiences with him of like kind of pedophilia, him like, you know.
But is it pedophilia? Because does he know their age?
So that's what he said, that he said that he, you know, didn't know their age.
Yeah. I mean, I could completely see that. These girls are like, they look like they're like at least, you know, 20 something, like, but they're going to be 16 and you're just talking to them over text. Like maybe before you like solicit a picture from them, you should probably find out a person's
age. Yeah. But, well, that's the thing is like, he was like kind of like asking for like that, like, for some of that kind of stuff, or like they were saying he was asking for some of that kind of stuff. I think I went yikes, especially because like, if you've watched this season, the most recent season of You, spoiler alert, in that show, he like kind of plays like, you know, a different version of himself where he is like a pedophile and has like, you know, has collections of photos of underage girls and things like that. And I was like,
he's a
wow,
comedian?
Damn.
He's a comedian in the show?
Yeah, like he's like a, yeah, he's like an actor, comedian in the
oh
show.
Oh my God, that's horrible. So, like, yeah, and Chris has been kind of quiet on Instagram. Usually he's screaming and doing stupid shit. It's like so funny to watch these people get under fire and then like go see like Hannah Brown when like, you know, her shit came out. I was like, every day it was like my whole like my Discover page was just stupid videos of this dumb girl that can't dance dancing in my screen. And then like, you know, she says the N-word and it's just... Now it's just like racial stuff. She's only like posting like, you know, I'm just like, wow, girl, you are whack. But yeah, anyways, Chris D'Elia is one of those people that like, you know, as comedians and has a podcast, always has an opinion on, and he's harsh on things. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He thinks for some reason he's like the coolest dude ever. So anything, anytime anyone does something like slightly off, he'll fucking crack on you for being like so whack and stuff. So, I'm sure he'll, I mean, what I saw, what I read of like the, like whatever accusations, it doesn't even seem that bad. Like if he's like, send me a pic and she sends him a picture of a koala and he's like, haha, like koala, that's funny. And she's like, yeah, I thought I wanted to send you something pretty exotic or something like that.
Yeah.
So like, you know, if that's like the worst of it, like, you know.
Well, it's just, I mean, like, it's like he, that's, I mean, but, and he said like, you know, that, yeah, you know, he got caught up in the lifestyle, which I think, you know, this just like always speaks to a larger issue of like men preying on women kind of deal that, you know,
I don't know, but I mean, is it preying on women when they're just offering themselves up at you? Like, just because you're famous, like he's known as like the good looking comedian, like, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you get caught up like where you just like can like a girl is like messaging you because you're famous and you can just see like pictures of her. If she sends it to you. If you just, as long as you ask, like, I think that's what he means about getting caught up. I don't think he's like preying on people.
I mean, I think it is like, I mean, like he was the one asking for pics. So,
yeah, but like, would you, how many guys have asked you for a pic? Would you consider them,
it depends
predators?
On how, when they're asking, like if they're asking, if like in a way that like if we're like, you know, I don't know, flirting or whatever, then that's different. But like if you're just coming at, you know.
See, I never do the pictures thing. Are you a pictures person?
It depends on how I'm feeling.
Okay.
Well, that's a yes. I don't really ask. Usually it's more for me than anything. Like, I don't ask people for pictures ever. But sometimes, yeah. You know.
I just know that there's a lot of guys.
I'm usually not gonna give them to them because I'm like, I don't like to be asked.
I feel you, but like I feel like a lot of guys like ask for pictures and stuff like that. Like, hey, can I see a picture? Or send pictures thinking they're gonna get a picture.
Yeah, and that never works. That really does nothing.
Let's get into a little mini main topic. I wrote this down over the last week as an idea, but, you know, I thought, you know, why don't we talk about awkward stages? Yeah, like, you know, the awkward stage or something. And I'm not even saying like awkward stage, it could be, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of different awkward stages. For starters, why don't we talk about the awkward, like, I've always wanted to grow my hair out long.
Yeah.
I can never get it past the awkward stage. Like, you know what I'm saying? That one stage where you could probably relate, where you're just like,
yeah,
ugh. Like, I want it to get long, but like, I have to look like this, like Ronald McDonald for like, you know, the next couple months. I gotta rock this hat. Like, you grow out your hair long. That shit takes a long time, like a year.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing it right now. And I think it looks good. Thank you. I'm currently in an awkward stage for my hair.
Okay, well, let's talk about it. How does it make you feel?
I still get a lot of compliments on my hair, so like that's nice.
Yeah.
But it does, like, I feel like for this, it makes me be like, do I regret? Am I gonna just like schedule an appointment in a couple of weeks to just be like, forget it, right. Cut it back.
And all that work and time, it's just like goes away, and then you're just like, ugh. But that's the thing, though. Like, you're,
it's
like
a battle.
If the battle is like, am I missing out on love right now because I look hideous, or not saying you, but like, you know, the awkward stage.
Yeah, it's like, damn.
But you know what I'm saying, the awkward stage. When you feel like you're in the awkward stage, you're like, what if I just cut my hair like I always do? And just, you know, but the awkward stage is uncomfortable. But sometimes to get to the change that you want to get to, it's necessary. Would you agree? Yeah.
I agree. Wow. Now thinking about your hair specifically, I know you're trying to use that to be like a segue into something deeper, which we'll get to. But like, I'm thinking about your hair specifically. And when we first started this podcast, your hair was like big.
Yeah.
It was long. You bouffanted it up, and it was like
bouffanted. What is that word?
A bouffant is like actually more of like a woman's hairstyle where it was like up. But
I've heard like coiffed, like it was coiffed.
It was coiffed.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's interesting that you brought up your hair because it's been very short.
Yeah, for the last year. I don't know. It's weird. Like, you know, it was funny because I was listening to Nick Viall's podcast. They had Brett Vergara of the Bachelor Diversity campaign that we had on this past week. But they were talking about like Nick's looks over the years and stuff like that. And it made me think about, like, he was like, I don't know why I did that. I have no idea why I even wore this, like, why I wore my hair like this. And it just makes us think, it's like, why do we make the choices we make? That's the funniest thing about, like, looking back at yourself. You're like, the whole time you thought you were looking good, but like, do we always just look bad? Like, you know.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I was like super, I think like my hair, especially, like I had longer-ish hair and then I cut it into a bob and then I grew it back out and then I cut it into my short hair.
Yeah.
Which I loved cutting my hair and I feel like
I like the freshness of a new cut, but like, you know what I'm saying? There's something about like having, but let's transition a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more about like maybe growing up, the awkward stages of growing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a stage, what would you say like your first awkward stage of growing up would be?
I mean, I feel like honestly, I feel like these days, like these kids, like these teens don't go through like the same awkward stages that we did, like of like looking just kind of weird. Mm-hmm. They all look like these teens. First of all, they all know how to do makeup way better than I ever did at that age. And like, I feel like they're missing out on the important. I feel like the awkward stages of like being like a middle schooler or whatever, and you look kind of weird, you're kind of gangly, and you like might have acne or whatever.
Yeah,
and maybe
do kids even wear braces anymore? They're just like born with perfect
teeth. Or do they all have Invisalign? Like, yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, is there like a shot they give them when they're a baby and they just have?
Yeah, or like, are they rich and their parents get them veneers? Like, yeah. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel like they have like LASIK at age one now, so.
I know. Well, and do you remember when like you thought it was going to be cool to get like glasses or braces? I remember like.
Yeah, I remember. Actually, I don't remember that for myself, but I remember it for my sister. Like, I remember my sister being like, I like so excited about getting braces. But then you get the braces and you're like, wow, what was I excited about? Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it was almost cool for, like, when people had retainers because they could have, like, cool cases to put the retainers. I don't know. It's
like
all about the accessories.
Like, rubber bands in your braces? Like, you're, like...
Yeah, like, colored ones. Yeah. And so then I feel like... Or, like, the glasses thing. Like, but, you know, I look really cute in glasses. So, like, I stand by that one.
Well, the awkward stage is meant for you to, like, figure yourself out. Like, you know, figure out, like, what you like, what people like. Like, you know what I'm saying? You... Like, that's the thing of the awkward stage of growing up. Is, like, you'll put on, like, this shirt and you'll be, like... And then you like it, but then, like, for some reason, you go to school and you get just, like, lit up with, like, roast and stuff. And everyone's just like, yo, that shirt is ugly. Then you realize you're like, I still like this shirt or I hate this shirt. Like, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the awkward times.
I wore a lot of, you know, questionable things. Like, I wore what were called arm socks, and they were, like, the little, like, things that you – and I would make them, too, out of, like, old socks and tights and stuff.
Yeah, I used to do stuff like that. I used to wear a belt as, like, a tie. Or a tie as a belt.
A tie as a belt.
Like some
I did that, too.
Yeah,
I
that
did
was,
that
like, some
too.
Sum 41 Avril Lavigne
shit. And I used to wear ties all the time.
Yeah, me, too. Just, you know.
Ties over, like – Maybe like full Avril Lavigne ties over like a tank top, or like I had like these cute little like layered shirts that like had like the fake collar.
I had a ring on every finger.
That's excessive.
And I was wearing like 2-3 chains, like 3 chains.
2 chains, but I got more on.
Yeah. So, well, you know, now we talk about like, you know, the weird awkward puppy phases. Why don't we talk about the awkward stages in society right now that companies are going through? Let's get a little deeper. Because right now these companies are going through some awkward stages. Like we talked about like Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben. This is and this comes up like I was telling you, I think before the show, I was talking to one of our special guests we've had on the show before, Solomon. And we were talking about, you know, the new Bachelor being black and stuff. And I was just explaining to him that, like, I think, like, we're going to – all these things have to go through an awkward stage. Like,
yeah,
an awkward stage of admitting that they're, you know, they haven't been inclusive about things, and an awkward stage of making it look like you're only doing it because of it. And maybe you are. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you have to. Like, you know, otherwise – there won't be a company or the people will not support things. So like you have to make a change, not just because of like the times, but like, yeah, because of the times, like everything has to change.
Yeah, like
now.
For your life, I guess like for businesses, for their livelihood in some senses dependent.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I feel like the wool has been taken off of everyone's eyes and now they're just seeing everything as racist. So, you know, like we said last week when the diversity campaign was on the show, like they said, you have to like we have to admit you're wrong and then try to move forward and fix like, you know, your mistakes. Try to at least, you know, you got to start somewhere. And people, because it is, it's like a rock in a hard place. Like companies don't want to make changes to make it look like, you know,
They're just making changes to make changes.
Yeah, but you got to. You got to start somewhere. Like, you know what I'm saying? And you don't want to be one of the last people to do it. Like, you don't want to, like, you don't want to be, like only doing it because, like, you're the last one. And you're, you know. Because very easily, these companies could have been like, Aunt Jemima, you know, it's just a brand now. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, like, but no, it's not. It's not. I think like it's, they yeah, even try never, to like
come on.
They try to like make it less like out throughout the years. Like I think they gave her like a perm and stuff like that.
Oh
like,
my god!
Like, which she's not wearing like the rag on her head anymore or anything like that. Like the handkerchief or whatever. But you know, I think you know these awkward stages are necessary. I think it's important for us to recognize this time. Like legit, this is a history we're talking about right now. Just like, you know, when we talk about the statues, like, you know, all these statues coming down that are put up, like, and people defend them saying it's part of history. They're like, you know, we can't just erase history. That's like the argument that everyone says. But like these statues, like, are not the way we hold history. We do it through books, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and also like we've erased, by having those statues, we've erased other larger parts of history by, like, you know, like glorifying specific areas, like glorifying fucking Christopher Columbus. He was a rapist and like just in general bad.
Yeah.
Like we're like, oh, but this is history. Like, okay.
Well, also cool. Like those
statues.
What
about all the black people that have done stuff?
Right. Like, exactly. Like there's definitely better people to be celebrating in statue form, especially these statues. Like, you know, they were not put up in remembrance of these people. Like right away, most of them were put up like decades later. Like, I think, like, the spike of most of these statues, like, these racist statues came, like, I think in, like, the 1920s when, like, you know, like, the Civil War stuff was happening. And then, like, also in the 1950s when, like...
Yeah, 1920s is long after, like, it was, like, long after, like, even, like, the Civil War that they
no,
were,
I mean,
like
between, like, the 1900s and 1920s and then, like, the 1950s when, like... We're trying to get rid of segregation and all that different stuff, like and that whole movement. That's when they started putting up more racist statues, like to scare black people. So it's like these things need to come down. And I feel like this is our moment. Like this moment right here is a moment where we're going to take down the statues, because you know this is a time where people are just being awoken to like what's going on in the world. It is crazy, and it's sad to be. I don't want to just sit here and just like hate on, like, you know, be like, I'm so surprised, like people are just now understanding this now. It's like, because I'm just happy it's happening now, and it's pretty crazy that it's happening in my time. You know, I'm gonna be able to look back and tell like my kids and my grandkids and all this stuff, like, you know, we were part of like on the right side of history, I feel like. So
yeah.
But you know, so now we talked about current times, why don't we talk about the awkward stages in relationships? What would you say like an awkward stage is? Like, is there multiple?
I feel like especially in the world we live in now, like that talking stage where you like are both like texting and maybe you like hang out sometimes or like, but like it's not really like said like that those are dates or like whatever. That's like a major awkward phase.
Yeah, it is. Of...
I feel like we both know what we're talking about.
Yeah. But I don't know though. Like, how do you fix an awkward stage? Like my thing with an awkward stage is like, okay, you like someone in that stage you're talking about, but like, then, you know, there's no conversation about like whatever. And then it's like, are you supposed to like, can you talk to other people? Like can you talk to other people in front of them?
I know it's weird. So like, I feel like for me and my, like in situations that I'm more referring to, I feel like it's always like to either get out of the awkward stage. And I feel like it continues to be awkward because like people fear rejection. And so like to get out of it, you sometimes kind of have to just like buck up and like lay your cards out on the table. So instead of like forever sitting in that like in between, you are like, okay, like I'm really trying to like hang out with you because I'm interested or whatever like the situation may be. And then like whether how they respond to that will tell you. And then like you can then it, that, that's like a very similar, like, you know, ripping the Band-Aid off kind of situation where it's like, okay, like you just gotta, you gotta do it. It might hurt, but
yeah,
then you'll but know.
Also, I don't know. That's rough, man, because like you just got, I don't know. You could just ruin it all.
I know. That's the hard part.
just all that work you did, just ruin it all. Oh man, it's not worth it. I honestly,
it's not worth it.
Yeah, no, I'll say it.
And forget
stage.
It though.
Yeah.
Don't actually, you know, move and progress along. Be like us and just sit in the awkwardness until you know you're forced to move.
What is it though? Like, why do some people seem like they're like better at getting to that like relationship stage than others? I guess I'm horrible at getting at the relationship stage.
I feel like for me sometimes I feel like it depends on the person or the situation or whatever. Like, I feel like right now especially it's weird because like, you know, stuff is like opening up but whatever, but like it's still like kind of hard to like date, and I feel like in other situations it would have been way easier for me to be like, yeah, like we're hanging out, yeah, we're doing this, and then you can easily progress it. But right now it's kind of like everyone's like up in the air and there's just like so much going on. It's like, how do we get all that together? But I feel like it also depends on like how much you might actually really like the person. Like, I feel like usually it's harder if you like really like someone because like you're like a lot is on the line. Like, you know like,
actually me and PG were talking about this the other day because we talk about our lives a lot, but I was kind of talking about this with him, and he's like, well, you know how like you're saying like some people are just really good at relationships? He's like, I think maybe we're just like really good at being single. And like, you're either like good at one or the other, really, right? Like,
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
Maybe like, just think about it.
I think you should be able to be good at both.
The people in relationships would probably think that they're good in a relationship or something like that, but be like, when they were single, they were probably not that great at being single. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's like you said, it's a matter of situation. Sometimes like the stars align for people, like the really happy ones where, you know, they had the perfect amount of time coming out of a relationship, or they've had the perfect amount of time being single, or, you know, this person's life is like at the right stage for the stage I just hit in my life. And like, you know, you just like everything just lines up. I think that's like a huge part of relationships. But I also think like we're just really good at talking to girls, you know what I'm saying, going out and being friends with girls now and stuff, like that type of stuff. No. And some people are just not that good at that, you know, and they'd rather be in a relationship than be like, I just find myself like wanting to be able to settle down with someone, but also like, it's hard. Like, it's like I said, that awkward stage where you like someone, you go out with them, but like it's not a thing. But it's like, are you just not gonna like talk to other girls because you don't know what's happened with this one, or, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, and that's
and
where
then
it
they
gets
might be
you.
Talking to other guys, so it's like, all right, well, fuck, like.
Yeah, so that's where it gets complicated because, like, obviously, like, yeah, you don't want to completely put yourself on hold or whatever, but. That's why I guess like you have to like try to really cut through the awkward stuff to like figure it out, which is the hard part because it's like, because you don't want to. Yeah, it's like, I feel like it's hard to be like juggling so many different things because then you never really know. It's almost like you're being like the jack of all trades, but like master of none in some senses, because it's like, okay, like I'm trying to be whatever. But then it's like, I'm not actually good with any of these people then, or like, yeah, whatever. I'm like actually not making moves really.
Really? Yeah. That's how I feel. I thought I was making moves, but still in the same place. So, yeah. Oh man. Well,
I guess if anybody has advice for us, help us out.
Yeah. Like, if you got a podcast we can listen to. Because our podcast is hurting right now. We got no advice. No, but I mean, this is what it is. Sometimes you don't got advice. Sometimes we got questions too. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, I mean, and like, I feel like or sometimes like
you don't
I know
got
like
all the answers,
I mean, I feel like my own advice that I need to like follow is like literally just like fucking do it. Like just fucking say it, lay it out. And I'm like, but I don't want to.
Is there another awkward stage of a relationship?
I feel like
when the family, when you're meeting family.
I feel like that can be awkward. I feel like it's like, yeah, whenever making like those steps from like moving past like the honeymoon phase to being like, oh, like this is legit phase almost, because I feel like honeymoon phase is not awkward because like you're just obsessed with each other.
It's that new but relationship then, energy.
Yes, yes, that, yes, that new relationship energy. And then once you move past that, I feel like it can get awkward because like you might, you might start recognizing things that maybe irritate you more in your partner, or you might like, you know, you might be having to start having conversations, be like, am I invited to this wedding with you? Ooh, or whatever? Not better.
That one seemed real. Well, what about the awkward stage of like when it's over, but you guys are still together?
Yeah.
That's awkward. I
mean, yeah. It's like awkward when it's like, I feel like I've heard this from other podcasts. I've like believed this myself, but like whoever's like, you know, the one that's going to end it always knows like at least 2 weeks ahead of time that that's like their feeling. And I feel like that's like that awkward stage is like when one person is like ready for it to end, but like it hasn't done that deed yet. And the other person doesn't feel that way, maybe, or maybe is just starting to get hints of that.
Yeah, or just oblivious to it or blocking it out.
Yeah.
Well, what about the final awkward stage? Actually, there might be two more final awkward stages, but I like how we're going through these awkward stages of a relationship now. But there's the awkward stage of breaking up and then like hooking up for a little while, right? And not like, and every time you do it, you're like, what does this mean?
Yeah. Which is like something I usually don't do, but have succumbed to in the past. But usually not my vibe. Usually I very much so cut ties. But yeah, I feel like that's awkward, and that's like literally just like self torture. Like it's like not even. It's more than awkward. It's just like, I'm just gonna let myself like keep feeling hurt. Like I'm like just gonna keep twisting my own knife in my heart, like, because it's like, because shit will feel nice, and then it's awkward because it's like everything feels the same, and then you'll go to like not talking to that person for like weeks at end, and then and then they'll be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, this will be my final awkward stage, is like where you guys like text, but it's not okay to see each other, and then you block her.
Or they block you or whatever.
Yeah. Or the other way around. But yeah, that's pretty awkward because now it's like, wait a second. Is he getting my text? Or is she getting my text?
Yeah, no.
Why am I on green?
Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. We've both been there.
Yeah. So, yeah. That was an awkward ending to the...
No, but I was about to tie it up in a nice little awkward bow.
I wanted to make it awkward, though. That was my way of tying it up.
I always say, I lean into awkward because, like, you know, awkward usually is going to push you to growth or change in some sort of way. Like, in our society, shit's going to be awkward, but it's pushing us to, like, the right shit to do. In a relationship, could be pushing you either, you know, out of it because that's probably the right thing then, or into it better, or whatever. And so, like, lean in. Lean into the awkward.
I think we did find some advice to give, and I think that's a great way to put a bow on it, because, for sure, we had said earlier in the show, like, change, whether or not, we're afraid of maybe what? Losing that person by having a conversation or whatever, but, like, this is life, man. Like, maybe that person is not supposed to, like,
be in your life,
or like this version in your life, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like so. I definitely recommend pushing through the awkward stages, to find an end, or at least a means. So, anyways, why don't we get into our slapper of the week?
No, we have bachelor follow up.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah, we do. I forget. Anyways, what do we got for some bachelor follow-ups?
All right, so we already sort of said it before. Yeah. But Matt James was named The Bachelor for the upcoming season, the 25th season.
Yeah, let's give a round of applause. We'll give him a round of applause because...
Yeah. First Black Bachelor.
You know, because that's huge. And it kind of was crazy because it happened a day after our podcast went out. So it's like we're talking about all this change.
And wow, it's back on our future Bachelor predictions.
Yeah, so... So, yeah, I mean, explain what happened.
So, I mean, not much else to say that than ABC announced that it's him. But also, like, Claire Crowley, he was supposed to be on. So he's besties with Tyler Cameron. Him and Tyler Cameron have their little nonprofit ABC Food Tours show that helps, like, bring programs and things to underserved youth in, like, the New York area. And actually, he had been shaded by Claire Crowley because he was supposed to be on Claire Crowley's season, which who knows when that will be, because he had a cameo that he was doing for, like, fundraising for things and had done interviews because, like, for his show. And so she's like, if you're doing this, then you're not here for the, like, right reasons, which she then went back to say that it wasn't just about him. But she also, like, had some shit to say because she wasn't informed that he was going to be named the next Bachelor until, you know, the news came out to everybody. And so she was like a little butthurt about that.
I think Claire is like on a high horse right now or whatever, but she had, I mean, they don't have to tell her that, but I do think it's messed up that they were kind of playing with her in the sense that they probably had Matt James picked to be the next Bachelor the whole time. This is the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? So the way the show works, it's a plan. They've been planning people forever. Like, you know what I'm saying? We knew that. Like, obviously, Kelly was a plan, I feel like. You know what I'm saying? It's all these people that are meant to be, like, they think they're going to make it far to be possibly the next Bachelor, Bachelorette. So he was supposed to go through Claire's season. That didn't end up happening. This whole, like, climate happened. And then they just, like, preemptively just announced him as the Black Bachelor, just, like, kind of being like, you know, we will do better moving forward and all that stuff. And a lot.
I mean, but that's the thing is they still haven't come out to say anything yet. And that's, like, my biggest issue is, like, they haven't, like, fully addressed anything.
Yeah. I don't know if they need to, though.
I think they do. I think they fully need to.
Well, I mean, when I say that they need to, like, will it affect, like, viewership if they don't?
Potentially, but I think, like, if they want to continue to, like, actually make the right changes to their programming, they need to, like, actually. And also, like, I think about all the people, like, and this is, like, part of the, like, whole Bachelor Diversity campaign's thing. Like, you know, they need to do better. Like, the amount of, like, actual racists that they've allowed on their show and given a platform for is, like, absurd. So, like, I think they kind of have to come out and say something like, hey, like,
yeah, I sorry. Think they might just, like, move forward and just try
which,
to,
like,
do better.
Is the wrong move, but, like,
well,
when
just addressing it, I don't know if there's the right move or whatever, but I think they can make right moves in the show moving forward. Like, you know, the casting for Matt James, I'm sure, is going to be very diverse. Now, the thing is, like, I would hate for, you know what I'm saying, like, that they need to cast for people like me. Like, I, like, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm diverse. And I also like diversity in women. Like, I don't have a type. Yeah. Like, I could talk to a white girl. I could talk to a Spanish girl, black girl, Asian girl, whatever it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all types of girls, I like them all. That's what they need to I think, like, you know, that was one of the things they were talking about last week in the campaign. It's like, those are the type of people we need to cast because, you know, Matt James, is he good? Like, and then he's just going to pick a white girl. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you want to see people that pick, like, all different types of, like, races and stuff, you know? It's not just, like, a black and white thing. It's, like, everyone wants to be included here, you know? So I think that's an important thing. I think a lot of people are going to really just not give a shit about Claire's Bachelorette season. I think they're just going to be really looking forward to the first Black Bachelor season. And the cool part about it is that, like, they're going to be able to, like, cast a whole new cast of people for them. Like, you know, it's the first time, like, someone's actually been picked outside of the franchise, like, in a long time. So there's that. So we'll have to just see what ends up happening in the next couple months.
I mean, they still haven't like announced anything about when they're gonna film Claire season. I mean, and they said, I mean, because so filming for Matt season probably would be like in November and stuff is usually when that is, but I don't know when they're gonna film Claire season, so I don't know what that's even gonna look like.
Well, what else we got for some Bachelor news?
So then on, I've been watching the Greatest of All Time, that they've been doing. And this past week's was Caitlin Bristowe's season, which, you know, first starts out with being her and Britt pitted against each other, which is always shit. But, you know, they really spiced it up with this one because they had her and Jason come on at the end and they told her that she was going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Like she was being cast to be on Dancing with the Stars, which this is a big deal for her. She had been offered this opportunity not long after her season and ended. And then Mike Fleiss, the executive producer, blocked her from being able to go on. And she's actually like a dance. She used to like dance like professionally before becoming like a hairstylist and stuff. And now, you know, a personality, whatever. But so like that was like a whole thing. She's like said it multiple times on her podcast how, you know, her and Mike Fleiss have always butt heads about it and like how he doesn't really respect women and different things. Like, and that's like, you know, tied to that decision. So like this was a big deal that she was finally offered the ability to go on. Yeah, so that's interesting because like the only other Hannah Brown was the first bachelorette since Trista Sutter, who's like one of the OG bachelorettes. And then there's been,
on the first season of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. So, and there's been multiple bachelors or men from the franchise who have been on it, but only now the third woman from the franchise.
I think there was actually like one girl that was like a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader or something like that that was on a Bachelor season like really early on. She came back as like a like an all-star or something like that, but yeah, so that's good for her. She'll definitely be on Dancing with the Stars now, so even Grocery Store Joe got a chance at that, so
lol.
All right, well, I guess we can get into our Slapper of the Week now, right, Veronica?
Yes, we can.
Okay, well, Slapper of the Week this week. I heard it. Is this on the radio? Like, what's?
Yeah, it's on the radio. It's popular. I feel like I feel like my friends like it a lot too. I don't know. Like, I feel like I've heard it a lot.
Yeah, I just heard it today for the first time, so I was like, let's go. So without further ado, why don't we just introduce our Slapper of the Week? It's Kings and Queens by Ava Max, and it's a slapper. Let's get it.
If all of the kings had their queens on the throne, we would pop
and scream. We resist on slap.
Save me. Once I stop breathing fire, you can take me.
rapper of the week, Kings and Queens by Ava Max. Yeah, you know, we had to do that one. It reminds me a lot of this. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Shot through the heart. It's not too late. You need love, man.
Hopefully that doesn't get us off of YouTube. But.
If all of the kings had the queens on the throne, we would pop shoot.
You know we have to show you where this shit comes from, though. You know.
I know, and it makes sense because, like, I love both of those songs, and I've always been a big Bon Jovi fan.
Hell
so,
yeah. Do you have any shout outs this week, V? Of course you do. We have them every week.
Yeah, we have to. I wanted to shout out my dad. It is Father's Day this weekend, so. Father's Day to my daddy-o.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to shout out my friend Michaela. I shout her out a lot, but she's like really like kickstarting her fit life with Michaela personal training, and she's doing a free week right now. So definitely hit up her Instagram for that. And then I wanted to shout out my friend Melanie Myers. She helped organize this awesome event with some of my fellow Mizzou alumni for us to talk about, you know, the protests that happened at Mizzou, which we talked about here on this show with Alma, and how they relate to what's going on today.
Amazing. Well, I'll start my shout outs with some Daddy Day shout outs. Shout out to my pops, Drew, and also Victor for celebrating his first Father's Day.
Yeah, his first Father's Day.
Quick shout out to the baby Landon, Lava, I see you. What's it called? And also, I want to give a big birthday shout out to our friend, Chef Jean-Marc. That's my buddy. I love him. And his birthday is this weekend.
57 varieties.
Yeah, so I got to figure out what we're going to do and stuff. But I get to celebrate with him this weekend. You know, he did it big for my birthday. So I got to figure out how to do it big for his. And I feel like I'm terrible with birthdays.
Yeah, because you only like your own.
Yeah, but who doesn't?
Yeah, you know, my birthday is my favorite holiday.
Exactly.
So.
It's like, you like Christmas, I like my birthday. So, yeah, those are our shout-outs this week. Yeah, I feel like we got a good, we're getting back into, like, full steam. And hopefully maybe I get to see you next week in real life. Do you think that could happen?
Yeah, that could probably happen.
All right, cool. Well, you know, hopefully it'll be a beautiful weekend. My friend Steven, Paul's brother, is moving to Atlanta this weekend.
Yeah, he's moving in. Shout out to him.
Yeah, let me shout him out. New AT alien in the building. And yeah, all my friends are moving up to Atlanta from Orlando, so that's pretty cool. So we'll probably be doing a little showing them around, and we got Juneteenth off for our company now, which is nice.
Which is nice.
We got a 3-day weekend, so that's happening. Guys, that's been our show 117. You know, catch us next week with 118. I can't even believe
that's
we're saying
how
that.
Numbers work.
That's how numbers work. But yeah, V, I love you. I love all you guys out there listening right now. I just love love, and and we love you. This has been Future Bachelor. My name is Cy.
I'm Veronica.
And we'll see you next week, all right? Deuces!
Bye!
Future Bachelor Podcast.